B-Pod Studios.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Everybody, I'm Mike Gorman along with Tom Hines, and welcome back to our coverage of Boston Celtic basketball.
Tonight, Gorman was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame.
Come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, Toucher and Rich, should I blast myself? Same old jokes, even worse is Fred. Man, don't know Dick, makes me wish I was dead. Wallach and Rich trying hard to be funny. Can't believe those two getting money. Sucking up to guess who the hell cares. Just shoot me now, throw me down the stairs. Sitting at the mic trying to sound real big. How'd these boys ever land this gig? Every day it's the same old baloney. Judge must have been on something to give him a Marconi. Just gets worse as the day goes on. Felger and Mads, brain-numbing egothon. Gotta start making changes. Would you rather Zoe and Beetle or two distant strangers? Come on, Tommy Heinsohn, what you think of this?
Are you kidding? That's ridiculous.
You gotta take it from T, your brother close to me.
Puckhead.
That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
Come on.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Tell him, T. Tell him.
That's just the way it is.
Don't hold back, T. Give it your all.
Are you kidding me?
Mike G and the T. Out.
Take that, 98 Mile.
The absolute best thing is, there's two things, is that Gorman calls me a dick. And then,
no, I said you don't know Dick.
That's right. Well, that's different. Well, you got that wrong, baby. Because I know a lot of them. But, and then when you guys called Heinsohn, and there was like a Humphrey Bogart movie.
50s gangster movie.
That was great. I still think that's my favorite 98 Mile of all time. And the best part of it was when you came in studio. I had no idea that we were going to get Tommy in on this. Yeah. And Mike just goes, hey, can we call Tommy? I think I might want to have him like do a couple. Tommy Heinsohn? Like, he'd want to do this? He goes, yeah, I talked to him. I thought we could do it. And it was right. You're right, Fred. And we called in. It was like,
yeah, he was watching a film from the 30s.
Like one of the talkies, you know?
Yeah. That changed everything. It used to be
classic movies. That's the only station, that and Fox News. That's all you give him those two shocking. And he's gone.
Yeah. I think anyone over a certain age, my father included, is pretty much committed themselves to Fox News.
All right,
on a continuous loop.
Before we get to the game, have you had any contact with Danny Ainge since the heart attack?
Not personally, no.
Not personally.
We've gone back and forth.
Okay. What do you know? What have you heard as far as like his condition now and how's he doing?
Well, anytime you have your second heart attack, that's not a good thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. My understanding, though, he's doing very well. The prognosis is very good. And, you know, he's probably going to have to do some dietary changes. He's probably going to have to stop spending as much time in Chipotle as he does. That kind of stuff. But I think, you know, again, second heart attack really
wakes you up.
Yeah. And I'm sure Danny's going to pay attention to the doctors, pay attention to diet, and be Danny again.
Yeah.
Danny's a very tough guy to keep down. You know, I did hear, don't get mad at me for letting, I did hear they had to physically take his phone away.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Well, Fred had a great theory the other day. He said, I bet that they told him that he was not allowed to watch
because the playoff game
on Friday.
The guy's never drank. He's never smoked. He's never done drugs. He's in relatively good shape. I mean, there's no way. It's got to be stress-related because, Lord, if he had a heart attack, I'm going to have nine. So,
yeah, if you notice when Danny is at a game, he's only in those seats for the first half. The second half, it's gone over the edge. No matter what the score is, one way or the other,
he has to leave.
He's got to leave. He'll walk up and down the corridors inside. He'll go in with Johnny Joe sometimes and sit in the training room and watch the game in there. But he can't be out there because he gets too involved.
You sat next to him before these games.
Oh,
what's he like?
I love the way he gets on officials because I mean, being the Mormon that he is,
can't swear.
He can't swear, so he'll say things like, let's say the official's name is Fred, he'll go, Fred, how'd you get this job? How the heck do you get this job, Fred? Fred, you know, Fred, pursue another line of work, will you please? You know,
hey, Weisenheimer, scram!
Yeah, but I mean, it's a different kind of harassing of the officials, but he does harass the officials. He's extremely vocal during the game.
Yeah.
But you can see why he would have to leave. Because, again, it's It's his life. It's his lifeblood.
Maybe not during the game, but off the court, like when he talks to us and when he does media, he keeps a pretty good game face as
like,
you know, everything's fine, everything's good, and you know, sometimes almost to his detriment. And it, do you think that maybe that kind of persona is so tough to keep up that adds to the even more stress that would put on someone's heart like that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that, how much of a persona that is, though. I think that's a lot of that's just who Danny is. I think he's a very positive guy. I think he thinks very positively. Looks at the positives in terms of his life. I mean, you should see his Christmas card. His Christmas card looks like a miniseries is going to happen. There's like, you know, 35 people starting with Danny and Michelle in the middle going down the sides and the all sizes, shapes, and forms. And it's just the largest family portrait I've ever seen. But you look
at
it.
It tends to happen with Mormons. They tend to.
Well, you look at that. You look at this Danny's and you want to say like, gee, who's playing Danny in this? You know?
So all right. Well, that's good. I mean, it's good to hear that he's doing all right. But I guarantee you the doctors aren't letting him watch this series.
There's no way.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, I don't think he's watching. I think he wants to watch. I think he probably is listening to Sean on the radio.
Yeah.
But he can't see it because if he sees it, he'll disagree with it, and that's where all the
it's got to kill
angst.
That's got to just.
I'm telling you, I'm not saying he's not watching, but I'm telling you, the doctor told him not to watch the games. And if he's anything like Billy Bean in the movie Moneyball, he doesn't have to watch the games. He just has to get a kick-ass shirtless workout in.
Right, well, watching it downstairs, listening downstairs.
There was one place in Moneyball where he knew Billy Bean was involved, and that was the big, long thing of me working out.
Crushing it in the gym.
Yep.
So this was a weird game, game three. Game one and two, I mean, I understand kind of what happened there. But game three, the fouls, and there were some massive head scratchers. And you knew that going into this, Giannis was going to be able to just run down the middle like a linebacker and try to draw the foul. He had a career high, I think, 22 free throw shots during game three. What did the Celtics need to do to adjust their game to so that doesn't happen again? Because I'm not going to put all that on the refs. He's been doing stuff like that all season long.
Yeah, I don't think they have to make major adjustments. I think the adjustments need to be made more offensively than defensively. I think, anyway. And Kyrie's got to be the Kyrie of game one and not the Kyrie of game two and three.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will be. I mean, he's that good a player that he can bounce back. But I think what this series has shown us is that against very good teams, which Milwaukee has definitely won, and as I heard John say earlier, and he's right, they had the best record in the league over the course of the regular season. If for us to win... And no, it's the S there. For the Celtics to win.
You can say us. You're allowed to say us.
Well, if anybody.
You're allowed to say us.
Yeah, you fly in the plane.
Okay.
You get like the cheap ring when they win.
No, I got the good ring when they won before.
Nice.
You got like the diamond one?
Yeah, I got the good one.
Nice.
Yeah,
excellent.
Oh, wait, yeah. That was really nice of them.
Did Granny get the good one?
No.
I think he did.
No way.
Oh, I can't believe they gave Granny.
I tried, Sean.
That's odd. That's an honor because they teams don't generally do that.
Well, maybe I didn't. Then. I don't know. I got the one I got is
the one the players got.
It's big. I can't imagine there was one bigger than that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what you should do is you should do the Aaron Ward who played with the Bruins, and you can just wear it everywhere you go and dangle it and try to get free drinks.
Tap it on the bar.
That's right.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah. In order to get your free drinks.
Yes.
To go back to our point, though, Kyrie has to be the Kyrie of game one.
I mean, why isn't he being that?
I think they ran some people at him where he wasn't expecting them coming from, and he needs to find other people as opposed to make it. I think, anyway, he needs to find other people when that happens as opposed to try to play his way through it himself. It's clear that against very good teams, Milwaukee being one, Toronto being another, and obviously anybody who comes out of the West, Denver or Golden State will be the other. We need Kyrie to get between 25 and 35 and get 8 or 10 assists and get 6 rebounds and a couple of steals. I mean, he has to play to that level for the Celtics to be able to say, okay, we're going 7 with these guys. We can beat these guys. Mm-hmm. If he's not playing at that level... you know, as much as it was great to watch the Celtics last year where they didn't really have a star and they just had a lot of individuals who took them a long, long way, history will tell you the team that has the best player usually wins.
Mm-hmm. In the end...
And Milwaukee has the best player.
Sorry you hesitated. I apologize.
All right, well, before you ask your question, which was rude, I will... we need to break. When we have a guest in studio, there's no excuse for not breaking on time. I'm keeping my promises to management. So, Mike Gorman, is going to be here. He's also going to stay through Zolak and Bertrand. So you...
He's trapped.
He's trapped. It'd be very rude to leave. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Gorman along with Tom Hines, and welcome back to our coverage of Boston Celtic basketball.
Tonight, Gorman was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, it'd probably be limited just because he hasn't done anything either in 4 or 5 weeks. So, like, you know, as far as really going up and down in that kind of environment, you're probably looking at more shorter, you know, 4 or 5 minute stints, those types of things.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Mike Gorman, who is the voice of the Boston Celtics on NBC Sports Boston. You can watch pre- and post-game with the guys over there at NBC Sports Boston tonight.
A regular on Toucher and Rich.
A regular. Toucher and Rich is how he relates to the kids. One thing that I think disappointed Mike and when we were hanging out is that... a friend asked me like what I'd watched, and it was one of those nights like tonight where the Bruins and the Celtics play at the same time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I saw the fourth quarter of the Celtics game. I think that offended Mike.
No. Boston's a hockey town. I take it from someone who grew up in Dorchester. Boston's a hockey town. If the Bruins are good, they own this town. If the Celtics are good, they're supposed to be good. If the Patriots are good, well, they're supposed to be good. Red Sox are good, they're supposed to be good. The Bruins are good, yeah, let's get into it.
It's a good point. You know, I mean, that's a good description. And I know that, like, on a night like tonight, it's going to be interesting to see how the ratings shake out for both of them. I think that tonight it will be a bigger Bruins night just because it could be a clinching night.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the bad taste in the mouth that people have for games. That's the other thing about this horrible NBA playoff schedules. You had to wait. I don't know why we had to wait between two full days between these games.
Yeah, we talked about that, Mike. Like, it seems counterproductive, but their theory is they want a game on every day.
Exactly right. Yep.
Yeah.
They want a game on every day, and they want to stretch it out as far as they can.
Yeah, because May 13th would be game 7 in this series.
May 13th?
Yep.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, well, that would be...
All right. Marcus Smart hurt himself in the second to last game of the regular season. That's a month ago tomorrow, halfway through the second round of the playoffs.
Well, I guess that's a good thing. I guess that's the one benefit for stretching everything out is that you might be getting Marcus Smart back tonight because he's been upgraded to questionable. Mm-hmm. First of all, a Marcus Smart coming back from an injury is still a Marcus Smart that you need right now in the series,
Without question.
Yeah.
Need him badly. Need everything he brings to the game himself and everything he brings out of his teammates. You need him. He's become my favorite Celtic.
Yeah. I think he's my favorite on the team as well.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, he's got the right type of attitude. Everything changes when he's on the court. I mean, although you're saying that this team needs to change things up offensively, Marcus Smart's not the first guy you think of, but, you know, defense leads to offense, and you need a little bit of attitude out there.
More career threes than Danny Ainge.
Now, we did bring that up to Danny, which was interesting. But
He wasn't a showboater. Danny didn't like the three. He's too modest for him.
So how do you think they're going to use him tonight if he is indeed coming back?
oh, I think he'll take a shot at everybody. Somebody's got to stop Middleton. You know, Tommy always talks about, and Tommy knows what he's talking about, letting, say, your star player go for as much as he wants and shut down the other guys, or shut down the star and let the other guys step up and win. The problem is there's two for Milwaukee. If you concentrate on Giannis and spread your other guys around, Middleton doesn't get covered as well as he should. And he, to me, he's the assassin on this team. Mm-hmm. And when they bring back Brogdon, and I think if he doesn't play tonight, he'll play when they go back to Milwaukee. They get appreciably better. He's a very, very good player. The Celtics really have their work cut out for them, and the best way for them to win this series would be to have Marcus Smart come back and be a factor in games and go around and start bumping people and let Giannis know that if he comes steaming down the lane, there might be a fire hydrant there waiting for him. You know,
the other part of it is not only is Giannis getting his, and we expect that's going to happen regardless of what defenses the Celtics put at him. It's the three-point shooting in Milwaukee that has just been the killer. If Milwaukee makes all their threes, they're nearly impossible to beat. Guys like Connaughton and Lopez and Middleton is going to, you know, get hot. He had people right up in Middleton's face, and he was still making them the other night. How does Marcus Smart help to slow that down on the perimeter? Not just by grabbing Middleton, but how do you stop these other guys?
Well, it's almost like you would play something resembling almost a triangle in two. You would put like somebody on Giannis and put somebody on Middleton and then zone up the rest of the other three guys. Marcus could be a big part of that. Marcus is disruptive. He's just disruptive by nature. When he gets in the game, things happen that don't happen when he's not in the game. I just think his physical play, he'll take a shot at Antetokounmpo, he'll take a shot at Middleton, he'll take a shot at anybody and everybody. Pat Connaughton, maybe. Nice kid. Couldn't be a nice kid.
Nice kid until he's knocking threes down.
It's hard to root against him when he shoots.
And so what was Tommy doing during the last game? You were sitting there watching with him.
Tommy comes to the games and then he stays underneath in one of the rooms under there that has a big screen TV, and we'd rather watch on TV and listen to the commentary.
Okay.
Than sit outside. I sit when he has a seat for me. I sit with Steve Pagliuca underneath the basket.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And it's great because you just never get the chance. In my job, you're always on the sideline. You're never on the end, so you get to watch the game coming back and forth, which is a whole different way of seeing it and seeing where the opportunities are and seeing. You know, from the side, you wonder how Kyrie can survive. When you watch him from the end line, you see what kind of a snake he is, how he can just get through people without getting touched and get the ball up there somehow. But, you know, he's 12 of 40 in the last two games.
Yeah.
We can't have that.
No, it's bad. And like, bad decision-making, too. Like, I don't know, there's certain times where they've double and tripled him, and he just refused to kick it out. And he kind of wanted to make those circus shots that he's been doing, and I don't know why he's been doing that. He's way too good of a basketball player just to continue to try to almost like tough it out. I what was he trying to do there?
Show that he's Kyrie.
Yeah. Like he wanted to become the legend.
I mean, he's the man. Well, he's darn close to becoming a legend. You know what I mean? he's got the best handle I've ever seen with the ball. But yeah, I agree with you. I think he needs to, and he will. I'd like to see us win tonight and have him have like 17, 18 assists.
Yeah.
Something like that. Find other people when he gets doubled and triple teamed as opposed to using his skill to escape, because the thing is, he can escape. He may not get the best shot in the world off, but he can escape because he's just so damn clever with the ball.
Are they getting screwed on the calls?
No.
So you don't think that in game three you didn't find any of those calls to be
Some of the calls to be questionable, and I thought Kane Fitzgerald lost control of the game at one segment and inserted himself to try to get control back, and that just made it worse.
Yeah.
So there was a stretch there that I thought they lost control of the game. But otherwise, you know, the free throw attempts were pretty even at the end of the game, and I know a lot of that was made up in the fourth quarter when it looked like the Celtics were out of it. But, the referees...
Do you believe in refs being like, because we have these guys, the Bankroll Boys, on, and I've told you about those numbers that they came up with.
Tony Brothers.
With Tony Brothers and things like that. And I mean, and you can't ignore those numbers.
Yeah, you're right.
So do you believe that sometimes the NBA will insert certain referees in order to extend series?
No, because then you really got to be conspiratorial. You got to think there's a conspiracy run all the way up to Adam Silver and back down again.
But it's happened. I mean, it's happened before in the NBA. Well, I mean, I guess not to your point. Not the people who assign the refs. However, maybe there's we see these guys.
I just read something over the weekend that there was a an umpire, I believe, that they wouldn't let ump Orioles games for 2 years because they felt that him and Weaver were getting at each other so much that it was affecting the outcome of games. So it has happened in Major League Baseball, my friends, but there tends to be more fighting there.
There are a couple of obvious makeup calls, I thought, the other night. And I like makeup calls. I think they're good. I think it's a way of an official saying, I made a mistake there. I know I made a mistake. I'll rectify it here. And the number of possessions will be even again, and I'll move on.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple of those the other night, and I think that's good. I do get upset with officials sometimes when they don't do makeup calls and just say, well, so I made a mistake. Big deal. Let's move on. Well, then you start adding up the mistakes, and you can say, we got hosed here tonight. That was the famous Bill Van Bredekhoff line with Joe Tate, who's sitting on the sidelines with a mic like this, and Van Bredekhoff walked by and he grabbed the mic and he said, "I don't know what Joe's telling you out there, but we're getting screwed tonight."
Well, I just love games like that because those are the games where you sit there and you go, "I really would like to have known what Tommy Heinsohn's saying right now. He's probably losing his mind."
Well, I still maintain we should have a little box. Maybe it's a little service you have to pay for if you want it, but a little box that just has Tommy
in the corner. I'd pay for
the whole game, and you'd see all these hand motions and rolling of his eyes and eating candy, and it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
That's what it would have to be. He'd have to be in like a very comfortable recliner.
Yeah. You
know? And he would have to have like his tray of snacks in front of him.
You've never seen this many ringdings in one place before. Yeah. Oh.
Speaking of that, there was a great thing in the article that came up the other day where you guys had a legitimate fight one time.
We did.
Like it was the beginning of your broadcasting career together.
Well, we were in it for a while.
How far into it was?
Probably 10 years in.
Oh, wow. Okay, for some reason I thought it was the beginning. All right, so what did he say to you?
Anybody can do your job.
Ooh, what made him say that?
I don't remember. We weren't arguing. We were having a kind of a heated discussion about something, and he was like, you know, anybody can do your job. You just give him the score, give him the time, and stay out of the way.
Ooh.
You know? So I got upset.
What'd you do?
I think I said... I said, anybody can't work with a blank like you.
Oh. And what was the response to that?
He stood up.
Oh.
And I stood up.
Oh. And he grabbed a handful of M&Ms.
And I think Paul Lucy, who's just a wonderful, wonderful guy and the best producer I've ever worked with, he just was in the middle. He just kind of inserted himself in the middle. And I left. I just turned around, walked out of the restaurant, and all day long, I think, how am I going to handle this game tonight? What am I going to do? And so as I'm walking down to get on the bus, Tommy's standing outside the bus, which he used to do, to smoke cigarettes for as long as he could before he had to get on the bus. And I tried to walk by him, and he just grabbed me, and he spun me around, and he just hugged me. And he didn't say a word. He just hugged me. He said, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm all right." He said, "All right, let's go do the game."
And that was never spoken of again.
Nope.
Ew, you hugged him?
Oh, no. I think he still thinks anybody can do my job.
Do you...
But in a nicer way. In a loving way.
Not a condescending way. Just pure love.
Yeah.
I love that anyone can do your job. Easily replaceable, kid.
I love Thomas Heinsohn. I love that man.
He's great.
Yeah.
But you're right.
You should say, at least I could read the clock now.
But I got to think, you know, you make a great point. It probably does take a special type of person to be able to deal with a personality as huge as his, as huge, as opinionated, and as aggressive, apparently, with the elbow sitting next to you as Tommy Heinsohn could be.
You guys don't find that true here?
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, Fred and I have worked together for so long that we can get in fights about anything. We know it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And we spend no time off the air together.
Yeah, so. Listen, we just avoid each other at all costs. But we also don't travel together.
Yeah, I mean, that's
like,
the thing.
You guys are constantly together. And, you know, I know you've compared it to a marriage, but it's about the best comparison that you can make. For like 9 months out of the year, you're essentially tied at the hip. I mean, you see each other probably as much as we see our wives.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true and has been true. He's just been really good to deal with because I think he understood early on, and I understood early on, this would work.
Yeah.
Our personalities, I didn't want to talk a lot. I've always been from the less is better school. You know, Tommy does want to talk. And so... neither one of us are trying to do the other person's job, except for that one incident in Orlando. There's always been a mutual respect for what he does and for what I do. you know, he does the game like he's talking to me. You know, I feel like I'm just sitting there having a conversation with you guys, but it's going out on the air as a play-by-play. I know some people would have a problem working with a big ego, but Tommy doesn't have a big ego about everything. Tommy has a big ego about basketball. And then the guy won 7 championships or whatever as a player and 2 as a coach. He ought to have a big ego about it. He ought to think that I know how to make this work and I know how to win. And so I have no problem with that. I have problems with people who have big egos who don't have the talent or the credentials to back them up.
Sure.
Tommy's ego is well-earned. We're good friends, but it's funny you mentioned, like, off the air. During the summer, I'll call him 2 or 3 times. We used to play golf 2 or 3 times a summer, but physically he hasn't been able to play over the last 6 or 7 years. So we'll talk maybe once a month during the summer and just make sure each other's still alive and breathing. And then come back in September, and when we used to do all the games, get into the relationship again, like you mentioned, that we're together every day. We're eating 2 to 3 meals together every day. You know, I'm trying to sleep on a cross-country flight, and sitting right behind me is a voice going like, "You got any Dove bars back there?"
You know? Can only imagine the smells that emanate from the man.
Did anyone ever try to break you two up?
Grandy. Sean, I couldn't resist. I'm kidding, Sean. I'm kidding.
Well, no. Did a network ever try to intervene, or maybe someone tried to steal one of you to go to a different?
Well, Iverson did network.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for a long time with Dick Stockton.
Understood. But I mean, but like, did anyone ever try to like say, you know what, let's put somebody else in here, or try to rework? Because from the outside looking in, it always seemed to work. However, there's sometimes people who take over a company or a broadcast.
They want their guys in there.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I've been able to avoid that mostly because I'm a freelance employee. I mean, they don't pay my health insurance. They don't pay anything. I just get a certain rate per game, and that's all I do for NBC Sports Boston.
How long have you been there?
37 years.
Do you like that?
Hang on a second. You can't negotiate getting insurance through them?
No, because I would have to make a commitment. They'd have a desk for me, and I'd have to be there every day, and I don't want that.
Well, just threaten to quit. They're not going to get rid of you. You have all the. You're in a power position. Why the hell? How much do you pay for insurance?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my wife was a freelancer too, so we had our own little company, and we worked it out fairly well.
Okay. So this is a benefit to you then to have your contract negotiated that way. Then is what you're saying.
I wanted to do the games.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything else.
Okay.
I want to go back and practice my guitar.
I see what you're saying. So if you were to get all those benefits, you would have a bigger commitment to the actual company.
Without question.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, I do.
And the expectation level would be greater. Like NBC Sports Boston only expects me to do games. They don't think I'm going to do anything else. If they want me to do something else, they come and ask me, and they'll say, "We'll give you an extra fee if you go to this or go to that."
Yeah,
and that's fine. I piecework. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Again, I don't want to work for anybody who's taking attendance.
So it's laziness.
Well, it's. You know, my brother and sister both don't think I've gotten a job yet. they kind of hope I will eventually get a meaningful job. But, so I've just kind of worked for myself ever since I came out of the Navy. I just sold my services, or what I thought were my services.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you can negotiate in your contract to basically live that kind of life but still get all the benefits.
Probably, but...
But then you have to pay an agent fee and stuff like that.
I'm kind of a lone wolf, you know?
You're a High Plains drifter.
Something like that. Anyway, I thought it was interesting because that picture that the Globe chose to have of me just like walking out of the garden.
Yeah.
I guess that's... I looked at that and said, shit, I guess that's who I am.
So when Mike was walking, since that was dumped, what Mike was saying is that when there was a photo in the Boston Globe about his feature story, and they showed him coming out of Boston Garden, and he said, "S, I guess that's who I am."
This is great. Never change, man.
There's something about this show that everybody swears.
Honest to God.
Mike Gorman.
Mr. Gorman, it's always a pleasure, sir. No one cares about swearing anymore.
No, they don't, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, nobody cares.
I think people have grown sensitive to so many things that swearing has kind of become very socially acceptable. All right. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure, sir.
Thank you.
Thank
for
you
inviting
for coming
me.
In.
I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
I really love doing this. All it's
right,
really
good.
Fun.
Well, you do us a favor by coming in. That's great. And
can you give us any critique on the interviews that we do? Is there anything we should change on about our weekly interviews?
No, you. What? Us?
All of us.
No, this is good. We're just going to run out of material here.
Oh, we did that 2 years ago.
What I like is the pregnant pauses.
Silence is golden, baby.
Yeah. So was Delonte banging LeBron's...
And with that, we'll say goodnight.
All right. All right. Mike Gorman, they can watch pre and post over there?
Absolutely.
NBC Sports Boston?
Pre and post game tonight. And Scal and he might even be doing halftime.
Ah, okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it's a sprint. Kyle's really good. I think he's an excellent studio host. But when we do halftime, there's no commercials, so it's just 15 minutes. You just got to talk, and you know I like giving him like 3-word answers.
Just making a panic.
It's one of those things where I'll toss it to you. You can do 90 seconds, you know? No matter what you say, it'll be good.
Yeah, you can say I'm an independent contractor. What are you going to do?
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Thank you so
See
much,
you guys.
Mike Gorman.
Thank you.
Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. So Wallach was telling me that there was a Starbucks coffee in Game of Thrones.
I tweeted out the photo. It's at Toucher and Rich, and it wasn't just... I watched the episode last night. I didn't see it while it was aired live, but it's not just, like, way off to the side. It's right in the center of the shot.
And if you think that they just left that there, you're an idiot.
I think they just left that there.
Nope. How much does it cost to shoot one of those episodes?
Oh, it's like a movie.
But these, especially. But the biggest
movies have things left in them all the time. There's websites dedicated to, I mean, there was like, you know, and Ben-Hur was wearing a Rolex. There's movies like nowadays, like Marvel movies where, you know, you could see like motors in the back of like chariots and stuff.
Okay, but fair enough. But so the time that it takes to shoot these episodes and the time it takes to edit these episodes, I find it very difficult to believe that they didn't catch that there was a Starbucks cup in there.
You see, it's an incredibly quick turnaround. So I think that there's more reason than a movie. I mean, they had to film, 8-9 hours of show within a year and a half?
Yeah.
Which is kind of insane, because it takes like 2 years to make like a 2-hour movie.
Well, they just had to have the one scene, apparently, where I don't even know if they were acting. It was just a dark screen, right?
No. That was during a battle. It's just the lighting was so low. And
yeah, the unfortunate, considering the massive battle that was going on.
I am on the side of it being not by mistake. But
well, it doesn't show the logo. So it's not like an average. It's not like an ad.
All right, fine. Then maybe. But so what the AV Club, here's how I spend my Sunday mornings. First, I feed the homeless. And then I go and AV Club has this thing about they have everything from Saturday Night Live, no commercials. Mm-hmm. Adam Sandler came back for the first time. And you forget how great Sandler was.
You forget how great that era was.
Yeah.
Think of all the talent that was around him, like when he first came in. Dana Carvey, who, by the way, Dana Carvey, you forget how great he was.
Mike Myers.
Mike Myers, Phil Hartman,
Chris Farley. My God, Chris Farley. You had even the like Jan Hooks was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Who was doing Update at that point? It was probably still Dennis Miller at that. But Dennis Miller, I thought, was funny.
Well, yeah, and then he got replaced. Well, I think it might have been Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, Norm might have. Oh, I think it went Neil and Norm, I think. I think Kevin Nealon took over.
Okay, so it was, I think that.
Kevin Nealon wasn't good.
I think Norm MacDonald came in with those guys and started doing. No, Kevin Nealon was terrible.
Yeah, no.
Kevin Nealon is not a funny person.
Yeah, he's one guy who was on that, with that crew who was not, but everyone else was pretty damn funny.
I've not seen him do anything funny. There's literally not been a time where Kevin Nealon has made me laugh. Never. He's in Happy Gilmore, he's terrible. Like, I know he's there because Sandler likes him, but in Happy Gilmore, you're like, what is this scene?
Was he funny in Grandma's Boy? Because everybody was funny in Grandma's Boy. He was like kind of like the hippie boss.
No, he wasn't funny at all.
Okay, well, everyone else was then.
I like that movie.
Grandma's Boy is a great movie.
But when was Sandler's, They're All Gonna Laugh at You, the last huge comedy album? Like one, because I mean, everything's different now with streaming, but like the last album.
Was that before or after Jerky Boys?
I think it was after Jerky Boys.
Okay, then you might be right. That might be the last great comedy album.
Well, the Jerky Boys might be the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
You know what? There's one of them that's better than the first one, and it's the one where they place the ads and people call them. Is that three or four? I think it's three.
It's three, four.
They touch the sun with three. I mean, three is like, it might be one of the funniest, 60 minutes of audio.
When Saul Rosenberg is talking about shooting off the cannons, and he's like, they're like, hey, I'm interested in Civil War with memorabilia. Yes, we have Civil War memorabilia. There's a Gatling gun, and he just, boom. All right, so Sandler does it. He does a good monologue. And in his Netflix, and then there was some sketches that I was just like, oh, wow, this is bad. But
I liked Opera Man.
I liked Opera Man, too.
And I don't even know if that was just nostalgia getting me, but it was also, I thought, legitimately funny.
Well, he does the
rag and stuff. But the final thing that he did, and they closed the night with it, was his acoustic song that he's been doing on his tour now, which is a tribute to Chris Farley. And I've seen parts of it because it was on his special 100% Fresh, I think was the name of it.
And I thought it was great. Yep. It wasn't the second time I've seen it, but yeah, because it was on his special.
Yeah, and so I saw it for the first time in its entirety on Saturday Night Live, and it was excellent.
It was excellent. It was great. And there was inside stuff in there that was true. It wasn't he said basically negative things about the guy and his, want to die. But I was on Twitter the next morning, and Ben Volen had tweeted the song. And then he put, "No, you're crying." Now, there's several things wrong with that. "No, you're crying" is idiotic. Just go, wow, this is really sad. "No, you're crying"? Shut up. "No, you're crying." Why do people write like that? You're a professional writer, for God's sakes. "No, you're crying." Just saying. "No, you're crying." So many things wrong with it. Two, why are you publicly admitting to have the psychology of a 2-year-old that you can't control your emotions enough? Like, even if you were crying, why share that with the world? Well, hey, I like this. And three, what are you crying about? Chris Farley died 20 years ago. You didn't know him. You're crying in retrospect of Chris Farley's death? "No, you're crying." You're crying? You watched it and you started to cry? My God, get a hold of your emotions, people. I mean, my Lord, I thought it was great. I really did. I thought that it was a great tribute. It's obvious that they were very good friends. So I'm not even being cynical about the song.
Sure.
It made you cry? How many times do you guys cry a year? Cry. Like, really cry.
Yeah.
Can you remember the last time you cried?
Yeah, I mean, but mine involved medical stuff. So,
well,
I mean,
Jesus, Rich, you had 5 years where you probably cried every day. There's a big difference between, hey, my wife might die, and I just saw a moving tribute to Chris Farley.
I mean, I've cried at dumb stuff before.
So have I. Can you remember, though, the last time that you did that?
Oh, man.
I mean, cried. Not thought something was moving, but cried. Like, you saw something in popular culture that made you cry. Like, when I see, what was that?
Up. The movie Up.
Okay.
I almost cried.
Okay.
Like,
almost cried is not crying.
Like, Up was like, oh, dude, this is going to be embarrassing me doing this in front of my kids because it's a cartoon. But that first 10 minutes of that movie, oh, my God.
It's just the reality of the life,
baby. Where it's like they fall in love and they're kids and they grow up and they want to have a kid. And then they found out I'm barren. I can't have a child. And then the balloon floats by and the music comes on. You're like, oh, my God. Never going to have a kid.
The last thing in popular culture that I almost cried at is there's a movie, which I didn't even watch the movie. I just saw the scene with Drew Barrymore and... they've made obviously some kind of deal where the husband or the father of the child was going to go away. Mm-hmm. And the child is probably 8 years old and he's screaming, daddy, daddy, don't go. Daddy, daddy, don't go.
Sure.
And I found it very moving. And again, I thought about in my own life, can you imagine a situation like that? But I can tell you this much. I wasn't sobbing.
No. Wow. I think back and the only things that have like almost got me crying are like really ridiculously childish. Like Up and the movie Dumbo about 15 years ago. I remember seeing there's a scene in Dumbo where they kidnap the mother, and I was sitting there watching, like, why am I, like, getting joked up at this?
I don't know. Whenever I see a story, and now I know they're all fake, so screw me, where there's a kid where no one went to his birthday party, I always go, oh, my God, can you imagine?
Somebody said, ask Nick, wasn't the Avengers emotionally draining?
Yeah, he was emotionally drained, him and Volan. Mike, go ahead.
So I'm going to try not to be too much of a self-important D-bag, and thanks for the soapbox, because this is one of my pet peeves. Everyone in journalism, this is in reference to your crying. I truly believe someone could do an entire interview with the following phrases. Listen, look, you know, I mean, I feel like at the end of the day.
Or the time, so this happened, yes.
I mean, it has become the most pervasive phrase. You guys use it all the time. You'll say, I mean, and then make a point.
Right.
Or who's worse with it? Dan Shaughnessy. Listen to a Dan Shaughnessy interview. He'll say, I mean, probably 37 times in 20 minutes.
That's a crutch. I mean, that's something that, listen, we all have crutches. And I think I just said listen. Another one. Yep, listen is a crutch.
All right.
There's certain words, however, is one that I say a lot.
There's talking, and then there's Twitter writing. And the idea, Twitter writing is bad in a million reasons. Is you're sharing information that doesn't need to be shared, and then you're saying it in a way that you want to slap them.
Well, but saying listen to people who are only actually doing that is pretty useless too when you think about it.
It's not, but it's just talking. To sit down and think something out and write in that fashion is 1,000 times worse.
So here's where it gets worse is I've read articles where people have written those crutches because they're so accustomed. Shaughnessy doesn't do that. But I've read articles where they'll put, listen. And I'm like, we're not listening. We're just reading. Yeah. Ask me a question, any sports question. I'll answer it with no words. But the ones I use, go ahead.
All right.
Who's winning the Bruins game tonight?
Listen, I mean, look, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like. There you go.
Well, you didn't answer the question. That might have been Breer, I've been being told.
Yeah, crutches are real. You talk for 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
You're getting some crutches out there.
Yeah, and then the best is when they're pointed out to you, and then you got to...
And then you really subconscious. It's really in your conscience.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not going to continue to use all of these crutches. However, I think that maybe I might try to work the best that I can to get them stuck.
No, you're crying. Shut up. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.